Most of the pictures on this weekly 50 blog are taken outdoors, and that's mostly due to two limitations. First, the limitation of my 50 millimeter lens, in that there's a kind of a narrow field of view, and when you're inside, it's hard to back up far enough from your subject to get a good view of your subject or the surrounding area of your subject. And second, my D200 that I normally have the 50 millimeter lens on is pretty bad at higher ISOs. Anything above 400 gets kind of noisy, and noise isn't always bad, noise and grain, but I prefer to have less noise in my photos. And in order to make that happen, I generally shoot outdoors with it. Now, I could just take the lens off and put it on my D7100 and get higher ISOs, like up to 1600 or 3200 without much noise inside. But, you know, I like to work within the bounds of certain limitations, and one of those is my camera. So I wanted to try and test it out in an indoor setting here. Even though I've used it indoors many times, I figured I'd try it for the Weekly 50 blog here. I went out on a walk the other day, and I wanted to get an indoor shot, so I went to the library. This is actually the Edmund Lowe Library, the OSU campus, and I found this row of books, and I just thought it looked kind of cool. I experimented with a lot of different perspectives and angles. I tried some higher ISOs up to 800, which I generally don't go to, but it's nice to know you have it if you need it, on the D200 anyway. And I had to use some slower shutter speeds, like a 30th of a second, a 50th of a second. It's difficult to do that handheld. Generally, as a side note, you want to stick to the 1/1 focal length rule. So if you're shooting with a 35 millimeter lens, you want to keep your shots at 1/35th of a second. Or if you're shooting with a 50 millimeter lens, try and keep them at 1/50th of a second. Although that's different on a crop sensor, which is most consumer DSLRs or crop sensors, as are mine. And so you actually want to multiply your focal length times 1.5. So if you have a 50 millimeter lens and you want to avoid a blurry photo, generally you want to shoot at one, not a 50th, but 1/75th of a second in order to get not shaky images or not blurry images. Now, I know I'm deviating from the photo here, but just as another side note, if you have a stabilized lens, and a lot of zoom lens or telephoto lenses are stabilized, they have stabilization elements built into them to compensate for that. So you don't necessarily need to follow that rule. But since I shoot with primes and a lot of primes aren't stabilized, I'd like to stick to higher shutter speeds. That's really where this is all going. The bottom line here is I like to shoot at higher shutter speeds, but when I took this photo, I couldn't because it just wasn't lit well enough. I think I shot this at a 50th of a second, and it worked out okay. I took several photos when I was in this room looking at these books, and there was one that I really liked, but I was standing too far back. I almost wish I could show it to you, but I don't really want to because I'm not that proud of it. I was standing too far back, and it was just a row of books kind of like this, but if you can imagine stepping back about 2 or 3 feet, it showed this row of books, but without anything for your eye to really focus on, there was nothing to really draw the viewer in. It seemed kind of distant and uninteresting. This one, however, I liked that the subject, this general index book, was really close, and so you can see that clearly, but you can still get the sense that this is a long series of books receding into the background. I think it worked out pretty well overall. Although to get this photo, I had to tug out on the left-hand side of the book. It looks kind of like it's Photoshopped. It's got that black border around it. It's not Photoshopped, other than just some basic adjustments in Lightroom with adjusting saturation and contrast that I do to almost every photo because raw photos need that adjustment. But this image isn't Photoshopped to have the book in there where it's not really there or anything like that. It's just how the light and shadows worked out. But I had to trick it a little bit by pulling that book out. So it was sort of at an angle, and the binder was probably like 2.5 inches wide on that thing. And so I tugged out on the left-hand side and brought it out at enough of an angle that you could actually read where it says general index. I also walked around the library a little bit more after this, and I felt kind of conspicuous taking a few more photos of books and whatnot. It's a library, so it's quiet, and the shutter on my D200 is old and loud, and it made this loud clacking sound every time you take it, which really isn't that loud, but it feels loud to me in a quiet library. I don't think anyone else would have really noticed, but it's part of that whole thing I mentioned before on this blog, where I'm not very comfortable taking photos in conspicuous settings where it's obvious that I'm just taking photos. And that's one thing I'm trying to get over. To wrap things up, though, I'm not entirely sure what I was going for in this photo. I just wanted to try something different. And this photo doesn't really tell a story. There's no deeper meaning here. I just wanted to try something different and get indoors and try this type of shot. And so the lesson, the takeaway here is try and do something different. Look at what you generally photograph. So open up your program, Lightroom or Aperture or whatever you have your photos in, Picasa or iPhoto, and look at the kinds of things you usually photograph and then find a way to depart from it. So if you're an outdoors guy, maybe try taking shots indoors. If you're a portrait shooter, try some landscapes. If you're a wildlife shooter, try and take photos of people, but just try something different. As an example, Tim Johnson, a former student of mine, posted a photo of a rock in a stream with water swirling around it to his Flickr page. It's a long exposure. It was a half a second. And so you got this really cool effect where the water is sort of streaking around it. And there's this one rock on the right-hand side that's stable amidst this swirling current. It's really cool. I've never really done a photo like that before. I've taken some photos of fountains where the water streams a little bit because I've left the shutter open for longer, but I haven't really gotten up close with a rock in a stream like that. So to me, that's something different that I want to try and push myself a little bit. So maybe one of these days I'll find a stream. It's hard to do that in Oklahoma, but there must be a stream around here somewhere that I can find a rock or some water and take a photo like that. So thanks, Tim, for the inspiration. And thank you all for listening. I'm kind of rambling here. Sorry about that. Anyway, we'll see you next week.